we'll get started today. And Be'ez Hashem, oh, we said Tuesday. So some guys told me that there is a there's another smicha class, contemporary halacha, meets on Tuesdays from like 1 to 2 or something like that, right? So if we're going to have shir on Tuesday, should we do 11 to 12? Should I put it out? Jed, you want to like see what the ratzon? What?
Yeah, we'll put that meeting
forward. So the options, I guess, are 11 to 12, no shir on Tuesday like normal, or, but again, I'm missing Sunday, Monday, so just keep that in mind, I guess we could do it at the normal time, then a lot of guys would have to miss. I don't like, you know. That's my least preferred option, but okay. So anyway, so let's get started. So what we're going to do today is we're not going to open up Shulchan Aruch today. Just want to go through the Gemara itself because I think not only I think it's definitely the case that when it comes to understanding Simchat Kof Tev Vav, just to read the Shulchan Aruch and the Shach, you really need to know what's going on in the sugya. You need to see the big picture of the sugya, and most importantly, to get clarity in the sugya. To have a sense of clarity of where the Gemara is heading, what impressions you get from the Gemara, and what the basic Rishon of how they interpret key points in the sugya. So today we're just really going to go through the sugya. I apologize in advance if it's too pashut, but I think it's very important to get the building blocks in place before we take the next step. The sugya starts with the Mishnah and Daf Yud Aleph. Amar Aleph. And the Mishnah teaches about two different types of bedikos. Simple reading of the Mishnah is the Mishnah is telling us about two different types of bedikos that a woman might have to do. First, the Mishnah tells us, Afal pi she'amru dayashaita, tzricha lios bodekes. That even though a woman is dayashaita, meaning she's only tamei from the moment she finds the dam, nevertheless, bedikos are going to be important. And the Mishnah later explains, the way many Rishonim understand the Mishnah later comes back to that line and explains, that the bedikos that she has to do are twice a day. Why? Why does she have to do bedikos twice a day? This is a takana that was made for the sake of taharos, having nothing to do with baila. Meaning her husband could be out of town, it doesn't make a difference, but every morning and every afternoon, she's doing a bedika. Every evening, she's doing a bedika. What's she doing the bedika for? To make sure that over the last 12 hours, all the taharos that she's come in contact with are in fact tahar. And that way, when she does find that she's tameh, it will only ruin things back 12 hours in time. Right? So even though, or won't even, saying Alf Bisham a Dayashaita, that's the first mission we start to need to with a Dayashaita may slaves. But whatever it means, it's a special takana to be extra cautious about taharos, having nothing to do with Baila. Then the Mishnah tells us, Umishameshes Ba'edim. Now Mishameshes means it's something relating to Tashmish. So this has to do with Baila as well. This is not about taharos. And the way the Rishonim understand, the Mishnah goes on to explain, the Shamish's base is an explanation of that. It's an explanation of Mishamesh Espe'edim, meaning a takana that a woman has to ascertain her tahara before and after each tashmish. Now, the bedika after tashmish is clearly not to protect the husband from nisakaris. What's the bedika after tashmish for? So it's not for taharos. It's not going to protect the husband from sleeping with the nida because it's already over. The bedika after tashmish is clearly there to ascertain whether she is a roa machmas tashmish. Apparently, this was a reasonable concern. That even though Rabbi Willick has said he's never seen a single example of a woman who's actually roa machmas tashmish, apparently that wasn't always the case. And it was a reasonable concern that a woman might be roa machmas tashmish. So every time she has tashmish, she becomes a nida. So the Mishnah tells us that you do a bedika afterwards to verify that she has not been roa machmas tashmish. The bedika before tashmish serves two purposes. One, to ascertain that she had not become a nida before, so that any dam found afterwards would mean that she was taka roa machmas tashmish. Meaning, the bedika after tashmish won't prove that she's roa machmas tashmish. Let's say a woman has tashmish, then she does a bedika and she finds dam. I don't know when that blood came. That blood might have been there 5 hours ago. That blood might have been there before the tashmish. So you do a bedika before to set a baseline that she's tahora right before, then if after tashmish you're going to find blood, now you'll know that it must be because it was roa machmas tashmish. So one of the reasons you do bedika before is to set the baseline for the roa machmas tashmish. And the other more obvious reason to do bedika before is to enable her to be with her husband, right? So that she could be with her husband and have certainty that she is tahora when she is about to be Mishamish's basis. So if you just read the Mishnah, the implication from the Mishnah, not really implication, explicit in the Mishnah, is that there is some sort of chiyuv bedika before Tashmish and after Tashmish. And the Mishnah makes no mention of chazakos to be Rav Machmas Tashmish, of X number of times that if you did see, so now you're muchzak to always see Da Machmas Tashmish, or X number of times if you didn't see, that now you're muchzak to never see Da Machmas, nothing like that. It essentially doesn't say what the result of these bedikos is. The Mishnah just tells us, yeah, you do bedikos after Tashmish, and then what? Like, what do I do with that? Now I have this information that she's Rav Machmas Tashmish. Doesn't really address that issue. The Mishnah also makes no distinctions regarding before and after Tashmish bedikos applying to only certain women and not others, meaning Vesus Kavua, Ves She'enu Kavua, nothing in the Mishnah about that. It just talks. It just tells us that. So it leaves it open for the Gemara to make Nukimta. Is the Mishnah talking about only a woman who has a Ves Kavua, only a woman who has a Ves She'enu Kavua, both kinds of women? That leaves it open for the Gemara to figure that out. And the Mishnah doesn't qualify the bedikos to only apply at certain times in history. I mean, the Mishnah doesn't say that these bedikos are only when people are osik petaros. It doesn't say. It just says you do these bedikos. Now, obviously, the ones that are taharos related are only when they're osik petaros. The morning evening ones, those obviously we're not going to do anymore because they're not osik petaros. But it doesn't say whether the husband ones, whether the before and after tashmish ones are related to. To being osik, still apply when we are not osik petaros. So the Mishnah doesn't give us much. It just tells us that there is this concept of bedikos before and after tashmish. Good. The Gemara, through the course of the daf and a half that it discusses it, makes seven different statements, by my count, about bedikos that help us understand these bedikos. The final one is the one that gets all of the attention in the poskim. Or the majority of the attention in the poskim, but you can't understand the final one unless you see the others, or you can't understand how the poskim interpret the final one unless you see the other six as well. And then, outside of this sugya, there's another comment that the Gemara is going to have, or a Mishnah is going to have in Daf Tezvav, that also may be relevant over here. So first thing, the Gemara says in Daf Yir Alfam Beis, Amri Dom Shmuel Lo Shanu El Taros, Avalabailu Mutaros. This whole thing is only the Taros. But lebayla she's muteras, and the Gemara goes on to explain. No, what it means is demigo debaya bedika letaros bayanami bedika lebayla. Avaleina suka betaros lo baya bedika. Great chiddush from Rav Yehuda Shmuel that the bedikos that she does before and after tashmish only apply to women who are osik betaros. Just like the bedika of morning and evening are obviously only about osik betaros, all the bedikos in the Mishnah are only for people who are osik betaros. Because once she's doing bedikos anyway, so it's no big deal to do a few additional bedikos before and after tashmish. Good, let her do those bedikos. But when it's just labayla, she doesn't need any bedika. So if I were to ask you, that statement of Yudah Mishmuel, should a woman ever be bodekas before or after tashmish b'zman hazeh? Very clearly statement on one of the Gemara, no. No bedikas nowadays because women are not osik petaros anymore. So even labayla, you don't require bedika. Statement number one of the Gemara, no bedikos whatsoever. That's Rav Yehuda Shmuel. Statement number two of the Gemara, Vayter and Daf Yud Aleph, Masnisin bein sheyesh leveses bein shein leveses, v'hakam ashmalan. Di'af agav di'yesh leveses, migo debaya bedika letaros, bayanami bedika lebayla. That the Mishnah is talking about whether a woman has a veses or doesn't have a veses. That in either case, she has to do these bedikos. And the chiddush of the Mishnah is that even though a woman has a vesa, so you know when she's going to bleed, you still need to do the bedika since you need to do the bedika l'taris, you need to do bedika l'baila. Meaning, it's obviously much more logical to require a bedika for what kind of woman? No vesas, right? For a woman who's ain't la vesa, because it could really come, she's a time bomb. It could come at any time. At any moment, she could become a nida. So more logical to require a bedika when the woman has no veses, and she can see it at any time. However, the Gemara's mechadesh that even if she has no veses, even if she has a veses, Shmuel would require bedikos. I'm sorry, even if she has no vessels, Shmuel would not require bedikos. Meaning, the Gemara is telling us that the Mishnah is talking about someone who's osik pataros, right? So when you're osik pataros, you need bedika labaila as well, whether you have a vessels or not. And therefore, when you're not osik pataros, you never need a bedika. Yesh lavesas, ein lavesas, I don't care, you never need a bedika. Now, what type of woman is going to be most critical for us to understand is a woman shein lavesas, right? That's most often the circumstance. But the Gemara tells us that ein lavesas does not require bedikos. So again, statement number two of the Gemara makes it very clear. Do you need a bedika nowadays? No. According to our Mishnah, even an ein lavesas does not require bedikos. In the Chiddush of Shmuel about an isha sheyesh lavesas, is that even an isha sheyesh lavesas, if she's doing bedikos every day for taras anyway, we require a bedika labayla. That's statement number two. Statement number three of the Gemara, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. I just thought this would be easier than just reading through the whole sugya. Baimine Rabbi Zeir min Rabbi Yehuda, isha ma'u shetivdok atzma labayla. Is it a good idea for a woman to do bedikos labayla? So I'm like, lo tivdok. Not just she's not required. Don't do it. Says, don't do it. Tivdok ma'abakach. Libo nokfo parish. Meaning, not only the Gemara is. The Gemara is not asking whether she's obligated to do bedikah labayla. The Gemara is asking whether she is permitted to do bedikah labayla. And the answer is no. So statement number three takes it even a step further. Right? Statements number one and two tell us that a normal woman nowadays is not a sukkah bataros and is ein lavesas, has no need for bedikos. Statement number three is she's not allowed to do bedikos because leave a note for a parish. Statement number four, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, Isha Ma'u Shetivdok Atzma Kedei L'chayev Baila Oshem Talui. Can she do Bedika right after Tashmish so that he could know that he may have violated to Safek Isser, whether he violated in the Sakares, so he could bring an Oshem Talui? It would be Bishogig, right? You bring an Oshem Talui whenever you do an Avera, that B'mezid Yechayev Kares and Bishogig Yechayev Echatas. So if you're not sure whether you did such an Avera, it's an Ashram Talui. So should she do Bedika to know that her husband's got to bring an Ashram Talui, or she's got to bring an Ashram Talui? Or a low tivdok. Don't. Ah, v'tivdok umabakach. Again, imkein, libo nokfo parish. Even when there's reason to assume that you should in order to fulfill some religious obligation of an Ashram Talui, you're not permitted. You're not permitted. Meaning the fact of libo nokfo parish overrides the concern of Ashram Talui. So again, so far four statements. The first two tell us she doesn't have to do bedika. Three and four tell us she's not permitted to do bedika, even if there are other considerations that would want you to do bedika. And keep in mind all of this, despite the fact that all the Mishnah told us was that she has to do bedikas. But it's just a question of who the she is, right? The kimta that we're working with throughout the entire sugya so far is that the she in the Mishnah is an isha hasuka bataros. And we don't have an isha hasukah bataros b'zman hazeh, so you don't have to do it, and you can't do it. Statement number five. Gufa. Amar b'zeh ramer b'abar yomiyah amar shmua. Isha she'en leveses asur l'shameh shachet tivdok. A woman who does not have a veset has to do bedika before tashmish. Amar b'zeh ramer b'abar yomiyah ein leveses b'ayah bedika yesh leveses lo b'ayah bedika. A woman who doesn't have a vesas needs a bedika, or one who has a vesas does not require a bedika. And the Gemara goes on to say, Amarava, v'lei malei, yesh, meaning, why didn't he answer? V'lei malei, yesh la vesas lataros, baya bedika, labayla, lo baya bedika. Ein la vesas afil labayla nami baya bedika. Umidalar malei hachi, shvami na, kasav shmuel, kal labayla, lo baya bedika. Meaning, what the Gemara is asking on Shmuel, the Gemara is asking on Shmuel's implication. That a woman with a vesa doesn't need a bedika, even for taros, as against our Mishnah, right? That she doesn't even need a bedika for taros? Nishiyesh l'vesa doesn't need a bedika for taros? What are you talking about? We said that our Mishnah holds. Our Mishnah is talking about a woman who's asuka b'taros, and even a woman who's yesh l'vesas. They all need a bedika for taros. As long as she's osik b'taros, of course she needs a bedika for taros. So the Gemara could have answered, this is Gemara's Diyuk, we could have answered that a Yesh Levi Veses only requires Bedika Lataros but an Ein Leveses even requires B'dika Labayla. Even when there's no Taurus, Ein Leveses is a greater Chiddush, that it's even going to require B'dika Labayla. From the fact that we don't answer that, it must be that Shmuel holds nobody requires B'dika Labayla. Yesh Leveses, Ein Leveses, nobody requires B'dika Labayla. So statement number five of the Gemara, a woman B'zmanenu, B'dika, no B'dika, the answer again, no B'dika. So, 1 and 2, no requirement for B'dika. 3 and 4, asur to do B'dika. 5, no requirement for B'dika. You see the direction the sugya is going the entire time, pretty much? Statement number 6, David Beis on Beis. Amar Rav Kana, she'iltinu le'inshi beis seder av papu derav hun rav derav Yeshua, ki asura banan mi bei rav, matzru chiluchu B'dika. They asked the wives, apparently at a time in history where this was not an inappropriate thing to ask the wives of the great Gedolei Amoraim of the time. When your husbands come home from a long trip, do they tell you to do B'dika first? V'amrli, lo. No, they never gave such an instruction. Says Gemara, that's a weird thing to ask the Rebbe's wife. V'lishaylinu l'datu, why don't you just go straight to the source? Ask the Gedolei Amoraim themselves. Dilma inhu kamach mriyan avshayim. They dafka asked the wives of Rav Papa and Rav Huna Rav Yeshua whether they ever even accepted as a chumra to be bodik lefnei tashmish, meaning they were afraid that if they asked the gedolim themselves, the gedolim amarayim would say, no, you don't need bedikos, even though they personally were makbid to have their wives do bedikos, because they hold themselves to a higher standard. The Talmidim wanted to hold themselves to the same standard that the Rebbe did, so they wanted to know what their chumras were. They didn't want to know what their chumras were, not what the halacha is. And the answer that they got from the wives was clear, even as a chumra, no. So this introduces, it's not really something new, it's sort of like a repeat of 3 and 4, but it's saying even for Gedolei Yisrael. Right? Not only is it inappropriate to be machmir, no matter who you are, it's inappropriate to be machmir. Wow. So step by step, does a woman do bedika for baila? No. Right? That's five no's. Right? So far. Statement number 6. Yud beis am beis. Amar Rav Kana. No, that was 6. Right? So it should be 6 no's. Right? No, that was six. Okay, sorry. I lost track of you. So, if they weren't doing B'dikos before Tashmish, the Pashtus is that they didn't do B'dikos afterwards either, right? Meaning, the question was, did you do B'dikos before Tashmish? If they weren't doing before, L'chara, they weren't doing after. Why? Pashtus, because of what we said before, that the B'dik afterwards is of limited utility if you're not going to check beforehand. I mean, maybe the Dhamma's there before. These women also probably had a Veset Kavua. So it's not 100% clear from the Gemara whether Veset Sheinu Kavua, whether they also wouldn't be Machmir, but you know, from the earlier stages in the Gemara, it's certainly the impression that you get.
Why are we assuming
that they probably had a Veset Kavua? Because Rov Nashim in the times of Shas had a Veset Kavua. Then comes the big one. Statement number 7. Tan Rabbanan, Yud Beis and Beis, the last Amud of the Parak. Isha Shein Leveses Asur L'Shamesh. Ooh, one of the more jarring, shocking shitos in Shas. The nish shein leves never let her have tashmish. Veina lo ksuba, she loses her ksuba, v'lo peros, v'lo mezonos, v'lo blaos, v'yotzi v'lo maxi olam, it's divra meir. The nish shein leves is not allowed to be married. So on the shidduch resume, ein leveses, tear it up, throw it out, that's not something you can even look at. Can't be. Can't marry a woman who's ein leveses. This would be a major problem for the Jewish people if we follow Shitas Rav Meir. Rav Meir is dealing with in a time where, again, it was very uncommon not to have the Veses. But can you imagine, had Rav Meir's opinion been accepted, la halacha, none of us would be here, right? Because, until in that window of time between when Veset Kavua was the norm and when birth control pills started, right, that could regulate people. Right? Everyone was, most women were in Leveses. But that's Rav Meir's Shita. But Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus Omer. Antigonus, what kind of name is Antigonus?
Greek.
What kind of Jewish boy is named Antigonus? Ramesha in the Tshuva, I think, talks about that, right? Ramesha talks about, when he talks about giving secular names. So Antigonus? So apparently you're allowed to give a secular name.
Alexander?
Alexander, Alexander, right, that's a whole story. But, okay, so Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, Omer, that Mishamesh is Mishnei Edim. No, she can get married. Akula! She can get married! You just need Shnei Edim. Noticeably missing from this price over here is the sheet that says, who needs bedikos? You don't need bedikos anymore. Stop with the bedikos already. No one's asking pataros. Right? Nothing like that. Two opinions. She can't get married, and she can get married as long as there are Shnei Edim. So a mayor holds a woman without a vesed kavua, too much of a risk to stay married to, a ticking time bomb. And the Gemara goes on to explain later on the Amud that even if she subsequently is koveya veset, he's not allowed to remarry her. I mean, he divorced her because she doesn't have veset kavua. Imagine the pressure each and every month, as soon as the veset kavua goes away, that's it, marriage over. He's got to divorce her. And then later she goes back to having a cycle again. No, can't remarry her. Why? Because she might, after establishing a veset kavua, marry someone else and have children with that somebody else. And then the first husband is going to say, had I known, I never would have divorced her. And therefore, the whole thing was bita'us. And therefore, we're not really divorced. And b'nei ha-mamzerim. So we say, it's final. It's final. Lo yachzir olamis. Wow. So that's Rabbi Meir Shita. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, you could stay married to her, but there have to be two bedikos, which will ifsua and tiknua. They'll ruin her and they'll make her good. And then comes along, Amar Avidom Shmuel, halacha, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. This is the first line in the entire sugya that actually tells us you require bedikos. Now, for who? The simple reading at this point of the Gemara, right? The simple reading is if everything in the entire sugya has been pointing to the idea that a woman who's eina asuka b'taharos does not require bedika and is not even allowed to do bedika, and then you have a line that tells you that a woman has to do bedika. Who's that talking about? Asuka b'taharos, right? That should be the simple pshat. That Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus requires a bedika, hein ifsua, hein tiknua, that's for an asuka b'taharos. And that should be the end of the story. L'chora. However, one more detail before we do the however. The Braisa asks, Mishama Bechanan Amru, Oilo Labaila. Then Abachanan says, Oivei on such a woman's husband. So the Gemara says, the Gemara's not sure who he's talking to over there. The Gemara says it might mean that he agrees with Rav Meir that you have to divorce her, but he disagrees with Rav Meir that you don't have to pay her ksuba. Like, oy vey, now you're going to have to pay through the nose for this divorce, you know? I was once driving on Rockaway Turnpike with Rav Schechter, and there was a billboard. Getting divorced for $250 or something, you can get divorced. And Rav said, oh, look how cheap it is to get divorced. It's much cheaper than getting married. So so you're going to have to pay. You're going to have to pay the ksuba. And or he's arguing with Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus and saying, you can't stay married to this woman because she's a time bomb and she may be in need at any moment. And therefore saying, oy lo labayla, no Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, it's not okay to just be mishameshesh be'edim. Just one second, we'll take questions in a second. Let's just finish the Gemara. And then we'll see how we'll start with questions in Rishonim. It's not explicit that this is true even for a woman who is not Osek Pataros. However, it's very mistaber that it's true about a woman who's not Osek Pataros as well. Why is it very mistaber? Meaning, it's such an obvious way to interpret the entire sugya. Just take the whole sugya, say everything tells you a woman who's not Osek Pataros doesn't require bedika, and then this last line that says you do require bedika, oh, that must be Osek Pataros. Why doesn't every Rishon jump on that bandwagon? Why does every Rishon do it? This is an obvious problem with it. What's the obvious problem with it?
You're going to say she's only going to get divorced if she...
good. So a woman who's a suka b'taros, the only reason she has a subadika, labaila, is because she's a suka b'taros, and we can get divorced for that? The whole thing is just an agav. The only reason she has to do b'dika labaila in the first place is because, once you're doing b'dikos for taros, you might as well do b'dika labaila. And Rameir's going to hold to get divorced for that? What happened to the mizbeach being morid d'maos? That can't be. So that's the indication in the other direction. that there's no way that Rav Meir Shita has anything to do with Taros or not Taros. So it must be that it's referring to even an Isha She'ein Asuka B'Taros. And that's where our problem comes up. Because we had six straight statements in the Gemara not to do B'dikos, or you don't have to do B'dikos, or you're not allowed to do B'dikos. And then we have Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus that you should do B'dikos. The Gemara raises the question that if this is talking about a woman who's Ein Asuka B'Taros, how could Shmuel Paskin, like Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, that she requires B'dikos? Shmuel himself said, a woman is not a sukkah mitzvah, right? The Gemara raised the issue. So, and if it's about a woman who's asuka b'taros, then Shmuel already taught that she's chayavas livdok, and it's redundant. Meaning, we already had a Mishnah that said a woman has to do b'dikos, right? And Shmuel said, yeah, that Mishnah is about asuka b'taros. But an ena asuka b'taros does not do b'dikos, it's not even permitted to do b'dikos. So we were clear up until this last line. We knew all of the halachas. We knew that an asuka b'taros must do b'dikos, and an asuka b'taros doesn't have to do b'dikos. What's Shmuel teaching me when he says halacha Rav Chanina ben Antigonus? Either way, it's a problem. If he's teaching me that a woman who's asuka b'taros has to do b'dikos, it's totally redundant. I know that. Our Mishnah said that. And if he's teaching me that a woman who's ena asuka b'taros has to do b'dikos, well, that's wrong. It's against the first six statements of the Gemara. And against Shmuel himself, who said that she doesn't have to do b'dikos. So the Gemara gives this cryptic answer. Man de masniha, lo masniha. Unclear whether it means that it's indeed redundant, but was taught by two separate people. Meaning that the halacha is as we thought. Asuka b'taros requires b'dika, and asuka b'taros does not require b'dika. Why does Shmuel have to keep telling it to me? Two different talmidim reported in the name of Shmuel in two different contexts. Or, it's a stira, and two different talmidim of Shmuel argue what Shmuel paskind. Ooh, that's going to be different. Right? That maybe taka, we have a stira in Shmuel. The first six statements of the Gemara, including some statements of Shmuel, would tell you that Nisha She'ina Asuka B'taros does not require B'dika. And this statement, is telling you that it does require B'dika. Then you have to figure out which of Shmuel's talmidim we're going to believe about what Shmuel's actual shita was. A couple of other matters that require explanation. Shnei Eden, right? She needs two bedikos. What two? Before and after? Husband and wife? Right? There are three bedikos, right? Meaning there's the bedika before Tashmish, the bedika after Tashmish, and the husband being bodik after Tashmish. Because if he finds Dam and Zever, there's only one place it could have come from. And also, what does it mean if Suha, Tiknuha, in what sense? Is it ruining her? Is it fixing her? Is it what exactly does all that mean? And then a couple of dapim later, there's a Mishnah. Kol anashim b'cheskas tayra l'baleihem. Kol anashim b'cheskas tayra l'baleihem. What impression do you get from that Mishnah? Yesh l'veses, ein l'veses, doesn't matter. No b'dikos necessary. B'cheskas tayra l'baleihem. So I guess you call that statement number 8. So statement number 8 aligns with statements number 1 through 6. Statement number 7 is where we run into trouble. That Rabbi Dovah Shmuel is paskening like Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus is saying you require b'dikos. What on earth? Like, why? Why do you require b'dikos? Is it only talking about anisha she'ein lo veses? Sorry, is it only talking about anisha asuka b'taros, or even asuka ein asuka b'taros? So Rashi over here. Any questions at this point? Right, this is just the Gemara. We just read the Gemara. Yeah. So Rashi has two interpretations of what's going on. Yeah?
Can you explain the two different possibilities of man de masniha, lo masniha?
Yeah, so we're pretty much about to do that through okay. Rashi. So, I said that quickly, but let's... Rashi, when the Gemara asks this question, Yidbez and Beis, Iba Suka Vataros, Ha'am Rashmol Chadazimna, if Rabbi Chanina is saying that a woman is involved with Taros requires B'dika, it's unnecessary for Shmuel to say that. We pass on Rabbi Chanina b'Antigonus. Of course we do. That's what our Mishnah said. Amar Shmuel Chadazimna. So Rashi has two possibilities how to understand the Gemara's question. Rashi in Dibur Maschil Ha said it the way we said it. Shmuel already said on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph that an Asuka Tzricha B'dika and an Ein Asuka is Ein Tzricha B'dika. Because Rava derived that has to be Shmuel's opinion from Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmiyah. So that it has to be. Rashi in Dibra Maschulman says that it's actually against Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel from Yeral from Beis, where he said that the Mishnah which requires Bedika is only when she's a Sukkah B'taris. And the Rashba quotes that from Rabbeinu Chanan. That what we're asking on, again, the question of Ibar Sukkah B'taris Rav Shmuel Chad Zimna is that it's redundant, right? But where's the redundancy? Shmuel popped up a few times already in our Gemara. So Rashi has two interpretations where the redundancy is. Is the redundancy from what Shmuel says here to what Shmuel says in Yud Beis Amud Aleph? Or is the redundancy from what Shmuel says here to what Rabbi Yehuda, from what Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says here to what Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel said on Yud Aleph Amud Beis in making the Ukimta in our Mishnah? That our Mishnah is only talking about a woman who's Asuka Pataros. Fine, that's neither here nor there. The only reason that matters is because it may relate to Rashi's two ways of interpreting the Gemara's answer. Which, whether you relate it or not, doesn't really change the sugya. But the two ways of interpreting the Gemara's answer is going to be a game changer. Right? When the Gemara answers, man demasiha, lo masiha, so what's going on over there? So Rashi's first explanation is that in both cases, Shmuel said the same thing, that only in Asuka Bataris requires Bedika. But since two different Amoraim reported it, Shmuel wasn't being redundant, right? It's two different Talmidim reporting the same thing in the name of Shmuel. They just say it differently. And that would mean, if we follow Rashi's first interpretation, that would mean, Bizman Azeh, no Bedikos. Statements 1 through 6, statement 8 is fully consistent with statement 7. No one requires Bedika ever. The Ran in Masechah Shavuos asks in Rashi, how you could say that Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus is talking about a Sukkah B'Taros, if Rabbi Meir says she's also forever, which clearly is not just a Chumrah L'Taros, right? The point that we raised before, the Ran raises that point. Right? If we say that once a woman is doing B'Tikos for Taros, I might as well do B'Tikos L'Bala as well. But it makes no sense to say that once she's doing B'Tikos L'Taros, she should get divorced. You're doing B'Tikos L'Taros anyway, just get divorced. What? Right? That's the Ran's Kasha of Rashi. It's also, he says, illogical to assume, the Ran points out, in general, when you have machlokas and shas, you always try to make the opinions as close as possible. This would really separate Rav Meir from Rav Chanina ben Antigonus. That Rav Meir holds she can't be married, and Rav Chanina holds an eina asuka doesn't even need bedikos. Right, that's puts them pretty far apart. Okay, but that's Rashi's first interpretation. The Ran explains that Rav Chanina would require bedikos even if eina asuka. That's how the Ran understands that Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus himself would require B'dikos even if she's a Nasuk B'taros, even for Nashim B'zmanenu. The Gemara's question is what Shmuel paskins, and that Shmuel maybe only paskins like half of Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. So Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus says she requires B'dikos if she's a Sukkah or a Nasukkah, that way she's Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus is not so different from Rav Meir. And Shmuel only paskins, no, she requires B'dikos, you're right, but only if she's a Sukkah B'taros. And that way Shmuel is still consistent with what he said earlier. That's all Rashi's first explanation. Then comes Rashi's second explanation. And he says, and with this we'll end for today, just Gemara Rashi, that there's a machlokas amoraim what Shmuel held. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel thinks that he holds, like Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, that an eina asuka requires bedika, that nowadays women require bedika. Whereas Rabbi Abba Bar Yirmiyah thinks Shmuel does not require bedika for an eina asuka b'taros, which would mean that if we paskin nowadays like Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, now we're going to require bedika. So think about what this means. Every other statement in the Gemara tells us no bedikas. One statement in the Gemara might be telling me yes bedikas. And even if it does, we then have a question how to paskin. Do we paskin like every other statement? Do we paskin like this one? Right? Rashi rejects this interpretation because he says that it's a stira in Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Because on Yud Beis on Beis, he said that an Eina Asuka requires Bedika. Yud Alvan Beis says that the Mishnah which requires Bedika is only talking about an Asuka B'taros. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel associates himself. Okay? Could be that it's a machlokas later on Moraim what Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel held. You know, we got to come up with something. The Ritva just adds another kasha, and he said, why would Rabbi Yehuda explain the Mishnah to be against what he assumes the halacha to be? Right? Why would Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel explain the Mishnah to be saying something that he thinks is not correct the halacha? And also, so the Ritva points out that when they asked Rav Yehuda if a woman should do a bedikah l'fnei tashmish, he said no. Right? He was so. Why would he say no if he really holds like Rav Yehuda ben Antigonus and he should do a bedikah? So this is where we are right now. We saw a sugya that very much led us in one direction. And then we have the statement number 7, where Rashi's second approach leaves us with a possibility that a woman has to do bedikos. Next time we'll go in the exact opposite direction, and we'll show why all over Shulchan Aruch and Rishonim there are bedikos happening. How do we get from there to there? So Bez Hashem, that will be maybe Tuesday. Okay, have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody.